City finds a Middle Eastern friend.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Citigroup's been a leaky boat since the subprime crisis. Multi-billion dollar write-downs for bad mortgage investments cost the CEO his job. There even been talk about the bank cutting its dividend, maybe even selling off parts of the company. But last night, Citigroup was tossed a life ring, a $7.5 billion investment from the Abu Dhabi Investment Authority. Let's bring in Peter Thall-Larsen. He covers the banking industry for the Financial Times. Peter, how critical was this investment to the bank's survival?
There's been a lot of questions raised about Citi's capital base by analysts and investors and about the sustainability of their dividend. And Citi has constantly maintained over the past few months that they have enough capital that they'll be able to pay a dividend. But the fact that they're willing to go out and raise this amount of money at this price suggests that the capital position might have been a bit tighter than we thought.
Now, we know there have been cases where foreign investment in U.S. assets from Persian Gulf sovereign funds has created controversy. I'm thinking of Dubai Ports World. What's your sense of how this investment in Citigroup is going to play out with U.S. regulators?
I'm sure the regulators will have a close look at this as they would to most of these investments. But I mean, you've got to bear in mind that, Citigroup has had a large Middle Eastern investor since the early 1990s when Prince Al-Waleed took a big stake in what was then Citibank when it was in financial difficulties. So there's a track record here. And I think also the other thing that's happened here, and we've seen this with other similar investments like the Chinese investment in Blackstone, is that they've been very careful to present this as purely an economic interest. And Abu Dhabi will have no board representation or any direct influence over Citigroup. And really, people seem to be sort of going to quite a long length to structure this in such a way to say this is purely a financial transaction and we're not buying any kind of influence over these banks or financial companies.
Peter Thall-Larsen covers the banking industry for the Financial Times in London. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
You're welcome.
Wall Street was fearful yesterday of a worsening credit crunch and how that may set us up for recession. Each of the major indices dropped in the neighborhood of 2%. For the Dow, that meant a loss of 237 points to 12,743. Asian markets were down in sympathy overnight. In Europe, the major markets are fractionally lower, but shares in some of the international banks are trading up, and that's helping to lift stock futures here in the U.S., so the market looks to open higher. Last year, there was concern about New York losing its place as the world's preeminent financial center. London was getting more international IPOs. But things seem to be looking up for the Big Apple. Ashley Milne-Tite reports.
So far this year, initial public offerings on the New York Stock Exchange and the Nasdaq have raised more than $51 billion. IPOs on London exchanges have raked in around $46 billion. Robert Teitelman is editor of The Deal. He says a number of particularly large companies debuted on the New York exchanges this year, including private equity group Blackstone. But he says IPOs alone aren't a good gauge of a city's financial importance, and enough of all the rivalry talk.
To me, there's no competition necessarily between London and New York. They're very complementary financial capitals, and they're dominant.
At least for now.
There's a huge amount of money coming out of China, India, the Gulf states. You have many of these places trying to develop indigenous exchanges.
He says these players could have a far greater effect on New York and London's global financial dominance than either city could have on the other. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, supporting the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation's mission to cure diabetes and its complications. More at jdrf.org. By BNY Mellon Wealth Management, since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. And by the American Public Transportation Association, committed to an energy-independent America by increased use of public transportation at publictransportation.org.
Foreclosure filings are on the rise across the country, even in one of the hottest real estate markets, New York City. From member station WNYC, Lisa Chow reports on whether this is a buying opportunity.
Foreclosed homes go up on the auction block almost every day in New York. Courtrooms holding the auctions are packed with investors, bank representatives, and lawyers. The homeowners show up sometimes. Their curious neighbors do too. Elias Molzak used to buy houses at the auctions in the hope of selling them at a profit. He says the auctions have become more of a spectacle than a place to buy bargain properties.
Most of the properties are overpriced right now. The prices are too high. They are market values. There are no deals.
Molzak says the banks base their prices on what's still owed on the mortgage. But over the last few years, homeowners have squeezed all the equity out of their properties, so the bank's prices are almost as high as the regular market rates. Lisa Urban is a real estate lawyer. She says lenders don't want to lose a cent.
They want to get the mortgage money out of the foreclosure, so they're not going to be letting the properties go. At least they're not at this point letting the properties go for less than what the mortgage amount is.
When properties don't sell at auction, they revert back to the banks. Regular auction watchers say that happens about 90% of the time these days. Because New York's housing market still looks buoyant, banks are cleaning up the foreclosed properties and listing them for sale on the open market. But they don't really want to be in the business of selling homes. It's expensive and time-consuming. Michael Gregg owns and rents out 35 apartments. He bought most of them at foreclosure auctions in the 1990s. He believes foreclosure rates will keep rising, and that means auction prices will eventually fall.
I've been waiting about 6-7 years now for this day to happen. I can see the writing on the wall. This is exactly how it was in the late 80s when they had the debacle of the savings and loans. That's how I got my first co-ops.
It looks as though the foreclosure trend is going Greg's way. Third quarter foreclosures were up nearly 40% in the city from the same period a year ago. In New York, I'm Lisa Chow for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening. Make it a good day.
American Public Media.